Last week we started talking about knowing God, and I started with a passage of scripture in it's in Matthew and Luke, where Jesus is talking, and the discourse is with his disciples, and he's saying, you know, in that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? And the point there is that they're doing the ministry kind of gifts, right? But what does he say to them? Depart from me, for I never knew you. See, we can get involved in ministry, and we can get involved in doing good things and doing good works and not know him. And for me, that's like one of my biggest concerns for you and for me, is that we're not just doing stuff for the sake of doing it, right? But we're doing it because we have a relationship with him. John 15 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, there's a key right there. Then he says, you will ask whatsoever you desire, and it will be done unto you by my Father in heaven. In this is he glorified, right? God receives glory through our relationship with him. If I don't have a relationship with him, then I'm just driving down the freeway with my fish sticker on the back of my car, flipping people off and cutting people off on the road. You heard the story about the lady? She pulls up to this intersection, and she's just really mad. This person has not pulled forward, and she's really upset, and they're on their phone, and she starts honking her horn and yelling and cussing out the window. Well, you better move forward, you better move. And she starts moving away, and a police officer was right behind her and pulls her over. And she says, what's wrong? And he said, well, I have good reason to believe this car was stolen. And he takes her down to the county jail, books her, says, all right, well, here's your papers, you're released. She said, well, what was wrong? And he said, well, you've got, you know, follow me to church bumper sticker. You've got the fish bumper sticker. You've got I work for a Jewish carpenter bumper sticker. But you're cussing and screaming at everybody. I thought you stole the car. Thank you. Oh. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that you're using my tongue as the pen of the ready writer to speak forth your word to be written on our hearts, that we may grow thereby. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, by the way, we have baby Ava with us today. Did you see her? Oh, she's adorable. I said, isn't she? I said, I can't hold you right now because I know what babies do sometimes. I'll hold you after church. This is my new sweater. Hebrews chapter 11, starting, we'll look at verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Rewarder. Rewarder. He rewards. He gives rewards. I like rewards, don't you? You know, you got my Starbucks card, I get rewards. I have the app on my phone, I get rewards. You know, we go to Regal Cinema, we've got, you know, one of those cards. You get rewards. They start giving you free stuff. Free stuff. That's rewards. You see, this person is wanted, reward, $100,000 for information leading to their arrest. I mean, all you had to do is give them a little bit of information if you had it, right? You get a $100,000 reward. Of course, the government's going to come in and they're going to tax you on that reward. So then you get like $10,000. I don't really know how much you get. I just made that up. But rewards. In Hebrew, the word for reward actually says dessert. Dessert. Does anybody like dessert? Come on, I know. I know some people that, I mean, if we could live on dessert, we'd live on dessert, right? Am I right? Come on, I mean moose tracks. Come on, baby. I want some Moose Tracks ice cream. Rewards. Something that's given to you that you didn't earn. It's a reward. Or a reward for doing something. You know what I'm saying? Here, the reward is for diligently seeking him. What does it mean to diligently seek him? Last Sunday, we talked about abiding in him from John chapter 15. And I mentioned that if we abide in him and his words abide in us, we're going to ask whatsoever we desire and it'll be done unto us. In this is the Father glorified. So the reward of diligently seeking him is dessert. Right? It's the benefit. In one translation, it would say things that he just gives you. It's nice to just be given stuff, right? Wives, you come home and your husband just has given you flowers for Valentine's Day. That's nice, right? Or he gives you chocolate. Right, Kathy and I were dating. She said, on my birthday, after we get married and we have an anniversary, and for Valentine's Day, three things. Chocolate, card, flowers. It doesn't always have to be a lot. It just has to be those three things. We were talking about this before service, after pre-service prayer, and Deb was saying that she and her husband, they just have this one card that they give back and forth to each other. It's not signed. My mom and dad used to go to Walmart or wherever, and they'd look at cards, and my mom would find a card, and she'd say, well, this is the one I'd get to you, and my dad would, oh, that's nice, and he'd give her a card. Oh, that's nice. And you know, that's how some people do it, right? My wife, she wants the whole kit and caboodle. So she'll get the whole kit and caboodle. She's not here to hear that, but Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Everybody doing okay here today? Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. We got a baby and another one on the way. Not Kathy and I. We've got a baby back there and another one on the way. I look at babies and I think, oh my gosh, they're so little and they're so cute and I just love them and they're so tiny. And maybe one day I'll be a grandparent and that'll be the next baby I have, right? Because I'm not doing any more. Daddy's getting too old for that. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, starting in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You know, I've been studying this all week. Maybe that's why I'm so happy today. Huh? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, what does it say? All of his benefits. All of his benefits. Bless the Lord, he's got benefits. You get a new job and you get the benefit package. You get the good insurance. You get the good 401k. You get the good retirement package. I mean, they just load you down with benefits, right, at that new job. Or you go to work at McDonald's, and they say you get 2 weeks off without pay. Praise the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. One, who forgives all your iniquities. Salvation. Man, he forgives all your sin. Everything you ever did wrong, he forgives it. Later on in this chapter, it says, he cast them as far as the east is from the west. No more do you have to make offerings and sacrifices and burnt offerings, bring fruits and veggies and sheep, offerings, waving grain and stuff like that. Man, that's all done away with. He forgives all your iniquities. You're saved. It's all done away with. Salvation. You don't have to try to appease him anymore. He forgives you. All we have to do is receive it. It's a benefit. Right? Who heals all your diseases. Listen, people would want to argue with you that you can't, that God doesn't heal people all the time anymore. Why? Why would you want to believe that God doesn't do it? Show me some scriptures where it says that God made them all sick and they all died and then he started over again. No, he doesn't. Jesus, who is the very image of the Father, came down. who healed all who were oppressed, who healed all manner of sickness and disease. Not once does it say he went into a town and the people were unrepentant, so he gave them all cancer and leprosy. They all had the perpetual cold. Every other month, they were all with the cold every other month for the rest of their life. No, nowhere. There's not one place where it says that he did that. The benefit, one of the benefits of seeking God and blessing him is health for your body. What? We had these friends, and for years and years, and they were one of those couples that, man, every time they turned around, they were having kids. You know? And they ended up with, Kathy's not here, I think they had like 7 or 8 kids. And they didn't have a doctor. They had Dr. Jesus. And for years and years and years, that was how they did it. And then he got insurance. Then they started depending on insurance. And then they'd have to go to the doctor because they were depending on insurance. And they were depending on the doctors. Yeah, Kathy and I went for years and years without insurance. If we had something that needed to be done, we paid cash for it. It was simple. We were trusting Jesus. We're trusting God. That's a great testimony too, isn't it? Oh, you right there. This week. Man, I mean... Can I say? Debbie's had a couple times, she's had these cancers in her uterus, or bladder, in her bladder. And she goes to the doctor, and it's very painful, and they do a chemical wash to clean it out. And this time she went, and she was just trusting Jesus. And she said, you know, Pastor, I might not be there Sunday because it can be very painful. She went, they did it. She was on her way home. She texted me. She said, well, it's all done. She said, it wasn't as bad as it usually is. And she texted me the next day. She said, Pastor, I don't have hardly any pain. I'll be there on Sunday. Come on. Oh, she went to the doctor and she had the cleanse. One of the things they did, they went in and they couldn't find where it was. They had to go back to the scans and look for it. And what did she say to me? She said, healing was already working in my body. They had to go back and find out where they saw it on the scan because they couldn't find it. But they did it anyway. Come on. Listen. The Word of God is already working in us if we'll let it. Faith went to her eye doctor this week. He says, well, I don't ever look at the right eye because, you know, it's non-operative. He said, but her vision in her left eye is better than I've ever charted it before. So what we say about the right eye, well, he's not looking in there, so he can't see what's happening in there, can he? He can't give an alternate report on what we're believing, can he? No. Why? We're trusting him. We're diligently seeking him for the healing of her eyes and for the restoration of her eyes for her sight. We're trusting him. He heals all your diseases. All your diseases. He doesn't say except for or maybe not this one sometime. All your diseases. There's no other God, no other religion that promises to do that. Only the true God, the God of creation, Elohim, Yahweh, Hashem, the God of the Bible, is the only one. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Hey, you know what? You ever face trouble? Looks like things are falling apart. Business is going under. Financially, things aren't coming together for you. The devil is trying to destroy. You know, John 10:10 says that the devil comes only to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I have come to give life and that more abundantly. So who's trying to destroy your life? Satan. Does he ever just stop? No, there's always something he's looking into. Why? Because he wants to keep you from being elevated above the normal stature of man. Paul, with a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me, lest I be exalted because of the abundance of revelation that I had received. So what is Satan trying to do? He's trying to keep you down. He's trying to keep you from moving forward. He's trying to keep you from being a bright light on a mountaintop. He's trying to keep you from experiencing the fullness that God has for you. So that as a Christian, when you're just submitted to destruction, you're just submitted to disease, you're just submitted to condemnation all the time from the accuser of the brethren, because that's who Satan is. He's the accuser of the brethren. That doesn't mean he goes around accusing you in front of other people. It means he comes to you and says, you're just not worthy. Well, you didn't get healed last time. What makes you think you're going to get healed this time? He's accusing you. He's trying to rob from you. Here it says, he redeems your life from destruction. He's redeeming you. Can you believe that he's redeeming you from destruction? Can you believe that he's redeeming you out of whatever it is that the devil's put in your path? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not sit and dwell there. I'm going on to the other side. Come on, when you've been through some hell, you know how to get out of it. You trust in him. You've been through some hell? We've been through some hell. But he delivers us from the destruction. Then it says, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Well, all you girls out there that always knew that you were a princess and daddy called you princess, here's your crown. Right here. It's called loving kindness and tender mercy. Instead of having to deal with the destruction. Come on, you can go through stuff. We went through two stillbirths with labor and delivery. You can get through that kind of hell and come out and still be trusting God because he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. And then you keep trusting him. And then you finally find a doctor, maybe who knows what's really going on. Or you get Jesus. And he comes in, he just fixes it. You don't ever have to know what was going wrong in the first place. He just takes care of it. And all of a sudden, everything works just fine. Come on, either way, who's helping you? Because he does what? He delivers your life from destruction. It doesn't matter what things look like right now. Man, listen, I saw one of my posts from several years ago. If you can go through hell and look like you aren't, you're on the right side with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I've been saying this stuff for years. This was like from 2013. You know, on Facebook, it says memories. You know, this time last year, 2 years ago. You look at it, it was right from 2013. I thought, glory to God, I'm steadfast in this. I'm diligently seeking him. Verse 5. Oh, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Come on. He satisfies your mouth with good things. You get the good food. But you know what else that means? It means because his word is food, he satisfies you with good word. So that you get the good word of God. And you can hear the good word of God and you can speak the good word of God. You know, Jesus said, it's not what goes into the body that defiles it, but it's what comes out of the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, he's given you good food for your heart, and it restores you. It helps you. It strengthens you. He's there to strengthen us. He's there to help us and encourage us, redeeming our lives from destruction, healing us, delivering us from the attacks of the enemy. Come on, because he's out there, he's real. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's called that for a reason. Because he's real. And he's out there, and he's looking to see whom he can devour. Like a lion. Like. Not being one. Because the one lion is Jesus. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Satan goes around as a roaring lion. So he's, you know, you got a cat. Anybody have a cat? Man, those things can talk, can't they? Man, rah, 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 rah. Is he a threat? No. The dog goes to the door every single time somebody's at the door. Man, That dog bark, 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 bark. You pet him, he's yours. I'm serious. You give him a doggy bone, he's yours. He's yours. Satan is the same way. He looks like a threat, but if you're in Christ, he's not a threat to you. He can't hurt you if you know he can't hurt you. Remember we talked about Job? He took all of Job's stuff because Job was in fear. He said, "That which I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I greatly feared happened." What will fear do? It's going to block the benefits. If you're in fear that the world is going to do something to you or that the devil can take something from you, and you fear that, then you're allowing him to do what you greatly feared. But if you'll go back to his word, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." And you could say, he heals all my diseases. He forgives all my sin. He redeems my life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies me he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen, the next verse. "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." He's going to help you make sure that you get it. Listen, you might go through some stuff, lose some things, shed some stuff from your life. But when you come out on the other side, you're going to be stronger and better than you were when you went in. Did God make it happen? No. He made the good happen. God doesn't bring death and destruction. But he can make you stronger on the outcome. He can make you better on the outcome. All things work together for good to them who are in him and trust him. If you're in him and you trust him, he's going to make all things work for your good. No matter what the enemy meant, and he does, he means it for destruction. No matter what he does, God is going to turn it around. Remember double for your trouble? That was several months ago, huh? He's going to give you double for your trouble. That's with Job. At the end of his life, remember, we're told, James told us, he said, look at the end of Job's life. That's your admonition. Whatever you went through, God is going to double it on the other side. He's going to take care of it. He's redeeming your life from destruction. He's healing all your diseases, right? Job was already one of the richest men ever in the whole wide world at that point. Before the devil got a hold of him due to fear. On the outside of it, he had double. Double the cattle, double the land, double. See, God is in the business of increasing us and helping us and flourish, helping us, causing us to flourish. Right? I can't tell you. We've been given multiple free cars. They weren't free to the person. They were free to us. We had one, oh, we loved it. We had a Chevy Suburban. Loved that Chevy Suburban. Man, you sit up nice and high above everybody else. Nice, smooth ride. I'm telling you, it's nice. Didn't cost me a penny. God has just blessed us. And I'm not saying that out of pride, but come on, I mean, we've been seeking him. We've been diligently following him. When you diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6, he rewards those who diligently seek him, not who casually show up from time to time, not who just say, well, I don't want to go today. Yeah, I've had those days. Do you know that? Last Sunday was one of them. I don't want to go to church today. You know, it's like that old story, you know, that the guy's in bed and the mom's pounding at the door. Wake up! Wake up! I don't want to wake up. Well, you have to. You need to go to church. Well, I don't want to. She says, well, you have to. You're the pastor. He's living at home with his mom. Come on. I don't want to do everything all the time either. You know, there are days I just want to go, let's just run away. You know? But where can I go that I can hide from him? If I should descend into the pit of hell, behold, he is there. If I should ascend to the most high place, behold, he is there. Diligently seeking him. Hebrews 11:6. Diligently seek him. He rewards. Come on. He's like the dessert buffet. Come on. I don't mean to make light of him, but he's my heavenly Father. Right? And he's got benefits for those who diligently seek him. Rewards. Is he going to heal somebody who's not expecting it? You sit in church and you're on the fence. You don't know if God heals or if he doesn't heal. You know, does he still fill people with the Holy Ghost? I don't know. Well, what's going to happen to a person like that? Are they going to get anything? Sometimes just by de facto being there. But there's a definite reward for those who diligently seek him. You see, with baby Christians, brand new believers, man, God just seems to take care of everything they've got for a while. Then after a while, it's like he pulls the bottle out of their mouth and says, okay, now start eating regular food. And then they go, I don't understand. You know, when I first got saved, everything just worked out, and it was all wonderful, and God took care of all my needs. And, well, that's how it is with babies, too. You know, you cry, they cry, you go to them. I still got one. God bless him. I just love that little boy. He comes in every morning almost, and he crawls in bed and cuddles up next to me, then starts kicking the blankets around, kicking them off of me. Then he gets out of bed. Oh, what we wouldn't do for our children. Well, we're his children, right? But there are definite rewards for diligently seeking him. Now, he crowns our lives with loving kindness and mercy. And it's mercy and loving kindness that cause some of those things to happen for us because we're crowned with loving kindness and mercy. But imagine how much better our lives will be once we start truly trusting in him. How about this? I'm just afraid God's mad at me. I messed up. I'm just sure God's mad at me. I'm going to hide out until maybe he's done being mad at me. Well, the Lord is merciful and gracious, verse 8. Slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. If he's slow to anger, do you think it's easy to make him mad? No, he's slow to anger, right? How about 12 through 13? As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. So when he says he removes all our transgressions, he moves them as far as the east is from the west. Can I tell you why? If I'm traveling north around the world, eventually I hit the Arctic, right? And then what do I start doing? I start heading south. If I'm heading east, I'm still always heading east. I'm heading eastwardly, right? Can I catch up and start going west if I'm just always heading east? No, I can't. Can east and west ever truly meet in that capacity? No, but north and south can't they? As far as the east is from the west. So when you hear the little voice saying, remember when you were 12 and you did this? I feel so bad about that. Who's that? That's the accuser of the brethren, trying to make you feel bad. He said they're as far as the east is from the west. God doesn't remember them. He doesn't dig them up. He doesn't have a little bag next to your name in heaven and says, well, I think they're getting a little full of themselves. I think I'm going to pull out, oh, that's a good one. Let's remind them about that. No! As far as the east is from the west. Verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting. It's from everlasting to everlasting, his mercy, his righteousness, his love is from everlasting to everlasting. Can you ever step out of good graces with him as far as his love is concerned for you? Never. James says he waits patiently for the precious fruit of the earth. Patiently waiting for you. Slow to anger. Crowns you with loving kindness and mercy. Man, he loves you. He wants what's best for you. Just like any parent. If you could keep your kids from ever getting a cold, would you? If you could keep them ever from stumbling and hurting themselves, would you? Then read Psalm 91. That's how he feels about you. 1,000 may fall at your hand, 10,000 at your right side. It will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you look and see the destruction that comes upon the wicked. It's not meant for you. Destruction isn't meant for us. We're meant for good things. Yeah, you know, bad stuff happens. Well, we're in a world that is still primarily under the curse, who Satan is still the god of this world. But you can come under him, under God, and you can line up with him, and you can start receiving his blessings. You can start receiving his benefits. And pretty soon people are looking at you, and they're saying, you know, every year my kid comes home in September with a cold, and every other week they get it again. Just like all the other kids. But your kids aren't doing that. How come? Well, my kids have the benefits. My kids have the blessings. And even if it doesn't always work that way, is that any reason to stop believing for it? Do we ever stop believing that we're saved? Do we ever stop believing that you know, should the Lord tarry and we should pass away and leave this body in the dust, that we're going to be in heaven with him forever? Do we ever stop believing that? Then why would you ever stop believing that God has a better plan for you? That his purpose, his plan and purpose for you is to have a good life. You know him. Have I read anything that wasn't scripture to you about this? Do you believe that he inspired the Bible? Then you have to believe that if he inspired the Bible and what is written in these pages, he inspired and he caused holy men of old to write them down. Do you believe that it's for you today? Then why would we stop? Why would we stop acting on it? Is there any reason? Man, you know, it gets hard sometimes. I know, right? Come on. It's, you know, you're on a diet and you hit a plateau. Oh, it's just never going to come off. I'm going to go eat Twinkies. Well, the next day you wake up, you feel bad you ate the Twinkies. Throw away the box, hide all evidence that you ever did it. Come on. Oh, dear. But you get back up on the horse again the next day, right? You don't just give up. Kids are having trouble with their classes. What do? You say, well, they're just stupid. No! You sit down at the kitchen table and you work even longer and harder with them until they finally start to get it. And then one day they're doing their math homework and they pull out the page. They did the whole page by themselves. You're like, where did you come from? Well, you came from all that diligently seeking. Right? Diligently seeking. Diligently seeking. Diligently seeking. Praise the Lord.